We have baby Daniel Bell, who has come here today for his first, this is his first Sabbath service, second Sabbath service. And so we are doing this in recognition of the fact that he is we're going to be asking God to bless him. Now, we often misspeak a little bit and say, I'm going to bless the child. Well, I can't bless anybody. I'm not given that ability yet. But we're going to ask God in faith that he will bless Daniel throughout his life and ultimately bring him into the family of God as a servant of God, which is what we all should be looking forward to becoming. This is an unusual occasion for us. It's been, as near as I can tell, maybe close to 11 years since we had the blessing of a child here in the Buffalo Church area, and longer than that in Elmira. And so it's a most unusual occasion, and something about which we are all pretty well excited to be participating in. Today we're going to ask God to bless Daniel. I did have one other visitor, and the parents that were with that visitor asked me to pray to God for a blessing on this little child. And I did, but I don't remember the name. So we're very excited. We hadn't had one in 10 to 11 years now. And the Bebels have stepped into the breach, and finally we have a child, one child, and the name of this sermonette, or it's not a sermonette, but this ceremony is the blessing of one little child. I emphasize that as we go on through here. And I could say I've entitled it The Blessing of One Little Child because we only had one, but you will see how many times in the scriptures God talks about one little child. And of course, if you're talking about multiple, then you go to children, the word children. Anyway, the Bebels have stepped into the breach, and finally we have a child, one child, to ask God to bless. So what I want to do today in this message is to lead you in asking God to bless one single child. By the way, I had to think about this a little bit. I gave a sermon, I believe it was on trumpets, about numbering Israel, and here I am numbering the little children, but I hope God is not disappointed in me for doing that. He was really unhappy with David, but David was doing it for military reasons. We're doing it for increasing the size of God's family. Well, we're not advocating numbering Israel, but we are going to ask God to bless one single child, Daniel, through his youth and into God's kingdom to become a servant in helping to bring all of mankind into the family of our Father. And by the way, according to the way Scripture looks at things, we are all children of God. No matter, I've turned 80 now. And Anyway, we're all children of God. Actually, we can say we're begotten children of God, not born yet, but we're all going to be born. That's what our ultimate destiny is, and that's where we are headed. I looked in the research books having to do with the book of Matthew, and the word child is a singular word. It is translated into English, and the word child is used in the book of Matthew. I was kind of keeping this confined to the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, it's used 17 times in 16 verses. That is in the King James Version of the book of Matthew. I didn't go and try and research it in the other Gospels or so on. In Strong's exhaustive concordance, Greek number 3813, paidion, P-A-I-D-I-O-N, means a child of either sex, an infant or half-grown boy or girl, and it figures an immature Christian, a little young child, one. It is, paideon is singular. It is, whenever you see that word in Greek, it is about one child. Sometimes, a couple of times in the book of Matthew, King James, it is translated in the plural, but that's not correct. The plural for child is children, and translated into English, the word occurs. If you use search the word children, we just talked about the word child singular, children plural. It's more common than paideon singular. It occurs 31 times in 30 verses in the book of Matthew. You remember not too long ago, we were talking about whether or not the children are free, or do they have to pay tribute to the collectors of the tribute. And so that was, at the time, kind of entitled by the words, then are the children free. That is to say, the children did not have to pay the tax on the temple. But that tribute was about money that was going to be used in the temple to conduct the worship services of the temple. Now, I think you find that in Matthew chapter 17. Picking it up in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 1, it says, and the implication here is that there is a striving going on between the disciples about who was the greatest. And it's between them. They don't consider any of the other figures in the Bible to be candidates to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They are thinking that they, one of them, is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, and they go to Christ and ask him, who is it that's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. The same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Mesion. Greatest. The word M-E-I-Z-O-N which means greatest. It is a comparative word. It means, compared to the others, who is the greatest one in the kingdom of heaven? Now, you find it a little bit more information when the same event is covered in the book of Luke. Luke 9 and verse 46 says, "There arose a reasoning among them who should be the greatest." That's the same event that was occurring here that we read in Matthew chapter 18. Now, Luke says there was a striving among them for the greatest in position. It said, you go back and you look at that verse of Scripture again, there arose a reasoning among them. In other words, they were considering David or Moses or Elijah or any of those Old Testament figures that preceded them. They thought that it was going to be one of them who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It was a comparative word. Who will be the greatest? Christ's answer to that was probably quite a shock to them. Verse 2 of Matthew 18. Jesus called A. Now, how many does A imply? One. He called one little child to him. He didn't call the whole group of children that might have been in the area at that time. He got one little child and set him in the middle of them. And he said, "Truly I say unto you, except you be converted and you become personality-wise and humility-wise as this little child, you will not enter into the kingdom. You will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." I translated that into modern lingo, and as the translator, I established myself as a football coach, and the football coach, having to deal with people on the team who wanted to be the greatest on the team, and spoken like a like a football coach, in lieu of being spoken like Christ, the coach might say, "You disciples need to stop competing with each other for position and start worrying about whether or not you're going to even be there." That's kind of a slap in the face that they got based on coming and asking Christ that question. If we can determine your position, who's going to be the greatest? Today, Daniel is going to be our teacher. I have established Daniel as one to teach us because Christ used a single child to teach his disciples about the most important part, most important characteristics that they needed to exhibit in order to get into the kingdom at all. Never mind who's going to be the greatest, just do your best to accomplish these things and be part of the kingdom. And position will take care of itself at some point. So there are three points that I have here that we're going to learn from Daniel today. The first point is a spiritual characteristic that we must learn from Daniel, from our one little child teacher. And that first thing we have to learn is humility. Humility, in one sense, seems to be the gateway to the kingdom. It is certainly one thing that we could look at as the gateway to the kingdom. Position then seems to depend on even what position you ultimately get, seems to depend, after you have been able to enter into the kingdom of God, also depends, your position also depends on your humility. My position, everybody's position, depends on the degree of humility you are able to master. Verse 4. Now, we just went through verses 1, 2, and 3. Here we are in verse 4. Christ says to the disciples who are striving among themselves, who's going to be the greatest? Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Daniel, who is our teacher, remember, I said I'm going to make a teacher out of him today. He's our teacher. He's an intelligent young man. He has quite a grip. He took a hold of my finger and wouldn't turn it loose. And so he's an intelligent young man, and he's a strong young man. And you know what? At this point in his life, does he have humility? Does he have humility? Does he think that he can take over the family and become the greatest person in the family? He's under no such illusions, is he? He is not able to open the pantry and get food for himself, cook anything. He's not yet probably able to crawl or walk. And so he's not going to be thinking of himself as the greatest person in the family. And so humility is exhibited quite naturally in a little child. They have spent 9 months in a dark environment, no light. They have the ability to hear certain things. And so they are suddenly expelled into a whole different world. And they are learning bit by bit how the world functions. They are naturally humble. And Christ called a little child, one little child, the Bible keeps emphasizing, called one little child and said, you got to become like this little child. Now, that was quite a put down, you know, from the disciples who came with their chest stuck out and say, who's the greatest in the kingdom? No. He said, the person with the most humility is the one who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And if you don't have humility, you're not even going to be there. Whosoever, verse 4, shall humble himself as this little child, the same, and that's one, this little paedion, this one little child, one child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So thank you for teaching us that, Daniel. We'll emphasize it by quoting 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, where Peter writes, through the church that he's addressing. Likewise, he says, the younger, submit yourself to the older. Now, Daniel doesn't have any problem doing that. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. Now, we were clothed with some pretty strong clothing today. We were at about zero when we left home. We've been down as low as 20 below. And so being clothed in warm clothing could be likened to being clothed with humility. For God resists, here's a key verse that we all ought to think about and remember. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humility is a gateway to the kingdom of God. Second lesson from Daniel is that we should be willing to receive one little child in Christ's name. Verse 5, Christ is saying, and he's pulled this one little child into the middle of his disciples, and he's using him, I guess, as a visual aid. And here, see this? Look at this, disciples. Here's this little child. He's humble. But you need to learn, even though he's small and little, to receive one such little child in the name of Christ, because he says, whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. It's like it's a transfer of your respect from the little child to Christ. If you respect and receive one, it said one such little child in my name, you're receiving me. By the way, it says you have to receive him in my name. Doesn't mean that you receive him for nefarious reasons. Being involved, this is my opinion, and I think I'll probably have to give a sermon on this before too long. Being in the name of Christ means much more, involves much more than just saying you are a Christian. You know, there's a whole world of people who say they are Christians, but they are not operating in what we would consider to be the name of Christ. And this says, if you receive this little one, right, Daniel? In Christ's name. If I receive Daniel in Christ's name, receives Christ. And if you've received Christ, then you have accomplished a major step toward becoming a part of the kingdom of God. And I suppose probably in the position that you have in the kingdom of God. There are adult little children. In fact, I think every one of us could be considered an adult little child who's going to become a part of God's kingdom. I just thought of this example. Hazel and I have talked about it in the last several months, a time or two. I think it was our first Holy Day season during the spring of the year in 1969. And there was a man who, I don't know how he got introduced to us, but for the night to be much observed, he came to our house And he brought, we remember him because he brought every time he came to our house, and he came to our house fairly regularly for a year or two, he would bring a bottle of muscadine wine. Now, it wasn't very good, but he had the attitude of giving and humility. But what I remember about this man, I can't remember his name now, it's been 50-some years. What I remember about this man is the first night he came, not to be much observed, he came to the house expecting that he was going to have to fast for 7 days. That's what he thought. He didn't have a lot of information about the truth, but he was willing to come to our house and begin a fast for 7 days. Now, we received him. They say, whoever receives one little child receives Christ. We received him, and we enjoyed the time with him. And that's something we'll never forget. Somebody who was humble enough to be able to say, I'm going to, and he was almost probably my age now. he was going to undertake that fasting for 7 days. One little child. He was one. I look at these scriptures and I think about that man. He was one little child and we received him. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have these scriptures in our mind, but that's what we did. Lesson number 3 from our little child Daniel. There's a contrast involved in this. That is to say, receiving somebody in Christ's name versus offending someone. Those are two opposites, aren't they? If I receive you and accept you well, that's one extreme. But if I am offensive toward you, then that's a whole different approach. Verse 6, whosoever shall offend one of these little children, those could be little children who are several months old, or they could be 80-year-old men who are also little children. Whosoever shall offend one of these little children or adults, it were better for him that a millstone was hanged around his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of these offenses. It must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Dropping down to verse 14, we're going from verse 6 all the way down to verse 14. Even so, Christ said, this is what is not God's will. And so if you say, what is not God's will, the things that are left are either neutral or they are God's will. So we take the things away that are not God's will right here, and what's left we'll look at as being God's will. Verse 14 of Matthew 18, it is not the will of God the Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones, paideon, little child, should perish. So that's our third lesson from Daniel. Do not give any offense to any of God's children, physical children or spiritual children. Psalms 119, verse 165, is a verse about offenses. It says, do not give offense to any of God's children, physical or spiritual. And it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. That's an attitude that we should have as well. And Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, Christ gives us another marker that we are to follow. Matthew 6 verse 12, it is in what we call the Lord's Prayer, and it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So these are the three lessons we have from our teacher Daniel. First of all, develop humility. Secondly, receive one little child in Christ's name. And thirdly, do not give offense to any of God's children. Well, let's proceed to ask God's blessing on Daniel going forward into his life and maybe ultimately into the family of God, leading all of mankind into God's family. So if Mama and Daddy will come up, and Grandma and Grandpa will come up, we'll ask God to provide the blessings for Daniel that he needs throughout his life. Do I get to hold you, or maybe I should just put my hand on you? If you'll bow your heads. Thank you, Father in heaven, for one little child and the importance of the knowledge that you gave to us about that little child. We're asking that you will bless him. And some of the blessings that we think about are safety, that he will be kept safe, and health. He looks very, very healthy right now, Father. But we ask you to be involved in his life going forward from here on and provide him physical health and physical safety. And Father, we ask that you will continue to provide him the parents that he needs in order to be taught and to learn about you and your way. We ask for him, and we know we can't ask for everything because we don't have the capability to have such a large list of things. But we know this, that spiritual growth depends first of all on knowledge, secondly of all upon understanding of the knowledge, and thirdly, wisdom, the ability to take the understanding that you will give him and to practice it going forward into his life. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. We ask you to provide that for Daniel. We ask you to provide him as well the attitude and the understanding to become a servant of yours and of all of mankind in bringing him and them into your family. Let him have the attitude of a servant. And ultimately, at the return of Jesus Christ, to be among those whom the Bible says are called, We know your calling is automatic for him. Chosen, and Jesus Christ chooses those who will be a part of your family at his return, and faithful. And we ask you to help him to become a faithful servant. We can't pray for each and every individual thing, but we leave the understanding of all of those things in your hands. And Father in heaven, we thank you for him and pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ to you. Amen.